You're listening to the Mindful Weight Loss Podcast, episode 91.
It's time to look at weight loss in a whole new way. Instead of focusing on calories in, calories out, you'll learn how to use your brain to transform your body and heal your relationship with food. If you're ready to lose your weight for the last time, you're in the right place. Because it's more than what you eat. It's who you are when you're eating. This is the Mindful Weight Loss Podcast. Here's your host, life and weight loss coach, Dr. Michelle Tupman.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. This week, I have another interview to share with you, and I am so excited about this one. It's short and sweet, but one of my favorite interviews of all time was on this podcast. So I came across Megan online a while back, and she posed a question. She said, "Ask me about how I accidentally adopted Chirpy the rooster." So I have a thing for roosters. I love everything rooster. I have rooster things in my kitchen. I have roosters in my spare room. They're all over the house because they have very deep and personal meaning to me. And it is absolutely relevant to the conversation that I have with Megan today. So Megan Nolan is the creator of The Warrior's Journey, which is her unique combination of yoga, toning exercises, and mental fitness that gives you the tools you need for holistic health and happiness. And Megan was initially invited onto the podcast to talk about the importance of having a morning routine that is meaningful for you and that invigorates you. And so that was the intention of the talk today. And you're going to hear all about why that is so important. But you're also going to hear about what you can do in your body, in the moment, where you are right now, in addition to your breath, that you can use as a tool to instill some energy, some confidence, and some positivity into your life, into your heart, into your soul in the moment. And that is where the story of the rooster comes in. So in addition to these amazing tips that you're going to hear from Megan, in terms of bringing some of this vibrancy to your life, you're also going to hear the story of the roosters. And trust me, it is worth listening to the end to hear that story. So without further ado, here is the interview with Megan. Megan, welcome to the Mindful Weight Loss Podcast. I am thrilled to have you here. We're going to have an amazing conversation about so many things. And I have to say, you know, listeners, you can't see her because you're just listening, but I love her already. Her energy is fantastic. So I cannot wait to share this interview with everyone. So Megan, again, welcome. Can you start off just by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, thanks so much for having me. I love you too. This is great. So thank you. And aloha, everybody. My name is Megan Nolan. I'm really grateful to be here with you all. And what I love to do and what I believe to be my mission in the world is to help other purpose-driven women to get out of self-care overwhelm by creating a meaningful morning routine that leaves you feeling amazing and sets you up to be holistically healthy and happy, which in turn leads to your holistic success. Because I believe that in order for you to get to the finish line of your goals, whatever those goals may be, it takes the many facets of your beautiful being. And success, in my terms, in my definition, I know we all have our own definition for that, also includes your health and happiness. And so I really think that sharing the tools of yoga and exercise and mental fitness in a way that makes them fun and approachable and accessible for as many people as possible is my mission and purpose here on the planet, because I myself have had that ticket to burnout town and know that it's a long way back and I would rather you not go there yourself. And if I can help you avoid that, then I would be thrilled to and honored. And so that is really what I'm here to do, I believe, on this planet. And as you so beautifully said, I like to make things fun and lighthearted. And I believe that bringing an energy of playfulness and creativity and curiosity to things helps to make us, you know, more grounded for sure, but helps to make things more enjoyable. And, you know, as adults, we can be in the go, 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 do energy. And we forget that we are first and foremost human beings, and who we're being and how we're being is so important. And so that's what I'm here to do. And I'm happy to share these tips with your community.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here. And, you know, I love the concept of having a morning routine. So this is something that I inadvertently have adopted over the past, you know, few years, more out of necessity, I think, than, you know, feeling that this is something that I should do after reading a self-help book or something like this. But I'm an emergency physician on the side. Oh, that's the first time I've said that. I always say I'm a coach on the side. I just said I'm a doctor on the side. Oh, I love it. Right. Shift work just has always wreaked havoc with my systems. And I found that if I didn't start my day at whatever time it started with some kind of ritual, I never could never tell if I was coming or going. And it just became this grounding thing for me to start my day with a routine. And it just started with, like, you know, a simple thing, like, you know, this is what I do. I get out of bed, I have the shower, I make my bed, I sit down, I do a little journaling, and then I get on with my day. It has now evolved to be like a full hour long thing that I start my day with. And I can't tell you how powerful it has been for me. It just absolutely sets the tone and it slows me down. The days when I, you know, sleep in, and it's rare that I do this, but, you know, when I do and I don't engage in my morning routine, I am running frantic all day long. And so that morning routine really, really grounds me into my day. And I love it.
I love that you do that. And I love that you've created such a powerful association between doing it and how it makes you feel, and the days when you don't do it and how you feel, because that's why I call it a meaningful morning routine, because we all have a morning routine. The question is, how impactful and how meaningful is it towards you feeling grounded, feeling calm, feeling centered? Because when our morning routine is we grab our phone, we go to TikTok, we go to Instagram, we go to emails, we blah, 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 blah. Like you said, it really sets off that cascade of go, 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 do, do, do. And I find that when, and my clients as well, when we don't have that moment of intentionality, and whenever it is, like, it can literally be just a moment, or it can be an hour as you are doing, which is awesome. It really lends to us being intentional about how we're thinking, how we're feeling, how we're moving our body, how we're breathing, how we're showing up in the world. Because if we just go on that frantic train of frantic, frazzled, chaotic, got to do all the things, but I feel like I'm popping in every different direction and not really heading anywhere, then that lends to us feeling frazzled all day long. Whereas when we are showing up as that purposeful powerhouse version of yourself, which is, I believe, what you tap into when you have that intentionality of the meaningful morning routine, not only do you feel more centered, not only are you more calm, you're more patient, you're more grounded, you're more energized, you're just a generally nicer human to be around. You're more present in every situation, and in your situation where you need to be very, very present with what you're doing, and not to undermine what everybody else is doing, because, you know, yes, like being present with your children, that's very important too. But the more we're in that state of awareness, which is what we cultivate in yoga and in so many different beautiful practices, the more we are tapped in and the more we are in that space and place within ourselves where we're connected to your intuition and your inner guidance, you're in a state of calm, you're not in a stressed state, you're in a calm, thriving, present, peaceful state, the better. For so many reasons, of which we can go on many different tangents in many different directions. But I think just knowing that how you feel and making that a priority, that's really the ultimate gift of all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I can hear moms who are listeners saying, like, rolling their eyes and saying, yeah, but the second I wake up, you know, children are screaming and I have to make lunches and the husband is demanding things of me and the boss is calling, and, you know, how can I possibly fit in a routine into that? Do you have any advice for, you know, for people who have this idea that mornings are just too hectic to add anything else to them?
Sure. A few different ideas. And a lot of that has to do with how we set ourselves up for the next morning by what we do at nighttime. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as much as possible, when the little ones are able to do this, helping them get that beautiful skill of this is how we make our lunch. This is how we set ourselves up for the next day. And this is a good skill for adults to have too. You know, I pre-make my smoothie, I just put it in the fridge and then I blend it the next morning. Stuff like that. How can we set ourselves up for a good sleep by unwinding the night before so that, you know, from the mom's perspective, like how much can we take care ahead of time so that we have that extra calm and spaciousness in the household? And so that's a helpful tool. Sometimes moms, I know you might be thinking, I can't even do this. Maybe a little bit of a slightly earlier wake up time so that there is that peaceful moment to yourself, because that's one of the most beautiful things about the morning, whatever time morning is for you. And that's the next piece to this, is it doesn't have to be at 5 a.m. for it to be like a quality morning routine. Sure. It can be at 10 p.m. if that's when your sleep wakes you up, you know, whatever that is for you upon waking, whenever that is. So that there is that window of time that is dedicated just for you. And that might mean waking up a little bit earlier if that works for your schedule and for your energy levels, because that giving yourself that quiet time, then that can be a helpful tool. And also reframing what that means, because a lot of times if you only have that time, you know, that window of time while you're letting the dog out to pee before everyone else wakes up, that can be that first step into your morning routine. And, or maybe it's while you're brushing your teeth, it's being aware of how you're holding your body, of how you're going to show up in the day. And so layering it with things that you're already doing, if your morning is already very busy, busy, go, go, go. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to start it and just give yourself that little window and glimpse of time. And then knowing that even just a couple minutes is really quite impactful when they're very intentional. And so if you only have 5 minutes before everybody wakes up, how are you going to make the most of those 5 minutes? How can you align to your vision? How can you connect to your physical being, your posture? How can you embody the energy of your vision by, you know, giving it form, by moving your body and into a powerful, confident pose? And then how can you decide what you're going to do that day by deciding on those first three action steps after you've gotten everybody on the bus and out the door or whatever it is, you know? And so just reframing it, because we hear a lot about morning routines and feel like Tony has one and Oprah has one and da da da. It doesn't have to be their routine for you to quantify it or qualify it as an effective morning routine. Mm-hmm. The best one is one that you're going to stick to. The best one is the one that's going to work for you and nourish your body, your mind, your spirit. And so reframing that. And the other layer to it is, as I said earlier, it certainly doesn't have to be done at 5 a.m. to be called any sort of routine. It's really about the ritual of giving yourself love and time and attention. And it can be at whatever time or whatever length of time.
Yeah. And it's important to say it doesn't have to be an hour like mine is.
No.
Right. And mine evolved because at some point I was a little bit disgruntled with my life in that there were things that were super important to me, values-based things that were super important to me that I wasn't making time for in my life. And some of these are little things like reading. Reading is my biggest pleasure. It's something that I love to do. And, you know, I was burning the candle at both ends for the longest time and would go weeks without reading. And so I decided, you know what, I'm just going to do reading first thing in the morning. And that's kind of how mine ended up becoming an hour, because now, you know, there's certain things that I love to have to feel fulfilled every day. And I do it as part of my morning routine. And I think why this feels so good for me is because I'm checking off all of the boxes of the things that bring me joy and make me feel good first thing. And so I'm never sitting, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, worrying that I'm not going to have time for myself or, you know, other things. I prioritize all of that first thing in the morning. And that's why mine's an hour. And then the movement piece is interesting. Megan, you won't know this, but listeners are very well aware of my ongoing struggles with getting more movement into my life. And for the first time, and I don't know how long, this morning, I did a sun salutation. I just did one, but you know what? I did it and it felt good and not good at the same time. But I think the good part outweighed, you know, the bad part. So I'm committing to adding just one sun salutation to my morning routine for now. And see what that brings me.
I love it. I love it. And that's a great way to layer it on and to start with something that's achievable and doable. And you know this, but as this is a great tool for your listeners, is when you're adding something new to your morning routine, you've already done that beautiful linking between what you're doing and how it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. But we can even take that a step further and create a little bit of a brain hack with it, so that when you do that new add-on of whatever it is, say it's your one sun salutation, that after you finish it, you are very intentional about celebration of completion.
Yes, I did this.
That was great. How do I feel right now? I feel good. I don't know if it was good or, you know, if it was whatever it is, like not getting too much into the story around it, but just celebrating the fact that you did it and really going a bit over the top. This is why I send all my students gold star stickers, so that when they do something like that, they give themselves a gold star. I know that since when you were 5 years old and your grade two teacher gave you a star and it made you really happy. Adults, we are wired for this. And so doing something, you know, seemingly as benign as that, but just putting a little bit of a star, a little stamp on the celebration, and high five in the mirror. Mel Robbins talks about that, giving yourself a high five, or just doing a little wiggle, a little happy dance. What we're doing there is, your brain is like, oh, that was nice. Okay, here's a little bit of dopamine. Here we right? go.
Yes.
And well, so then it's
The brain ahead. Loves celebration. And I did celebrate. So I'll be honest and say, like, the initial thoughts that I had was, what's the point of doing just one sun salutation? And like, what the hell's wrong with me that I can't even like put my hands on the ground when I bend over? They have to be on my shins. And then like, I very quickly managed to turn that around and say, you know what? I just did a freaking sun salutation. This is amazing. And I did. I did this happy little wiggle in the mirror, and I went on with my day. And that's the reason why I'll be able to do another one tomorrow. Because if I stopped at the, you know, that judgment, you know, piece, I would probably feel, you know, too shitty to do it again, you know, tomorrow. So that celebration piece is important. I agree.
Yes. And actually, what you just said there leads me perfectly to my next point, is that as soon as we do something, or we're about to do something that stretches us in the way out of our comfort zone, we have that dialogue of that very critical voice that comes in so quickly of, what was the point of that? Why? If you're not doing an hour, what's the point? The point is that you did it, and that you did something that you said you were going to do for yourself, and that you care enough about how you feel that you did it for yourself. And as soon as we go to stretch ourselves, that the shitty committee in our head takes the mic and is like, psst, really? Was that anything? And it goes so fast into the critical that that's what can sabotage us. That's the voice of the saboteurs in our head, of the little voices that tell us that it wasn't good enough and it's not really worth it, or critiques it. And that's the judge that we have in our head. So that's where the whole framework that I help people with is called mental fitness. And so it's strengthening the muscles of the mind. And you did it. You did it right there. And you said, nope, actually, I did that. Mm-hmm. And that's when we use that level of awareness to just catch ourselves in that spiral of doubt or self-critical talk or negative speak in our head, which we all do a whole lot more than we realize. Yeah. When we learn how to just witness it, catch it, cultivate awareness, and then pause, come into the breath, come into something, just come into that sense of, you know what? No, I'm not letting that happen right now. And going to celebration, not only are you calming your nervous system, you're shifting yourself out of that stress dialogue, you're cultivating that inner awareness and connection to the truth of who you are at your core essence, is powerful and beautiful and compassionate and loving towards yourself, because that's what you practice. That's really such a powerful tool set. So I applaud you for doing that. And I hope that that was helpful, in the sense that when we learn how to stop that noisy chatter, then we can become very intentional about how we're thinking and speaking to ourselves. Because half the time when we're going to stretch ourselves, that's where that inner dialogue kicks in. It's like, no, this is not, no, don't do it. Remember last time you screwed it up. Don't do it. You know, and it tries to derail our progress very quickly. And so just even hearing that voice and recognizing, okay, this is where I get to lean in and be curious about this, so that it's not taking you down that old well-worn path of, what's the point? Not going to do that anymore. And starting to create that new pathway for yourself, both in the habit and also in your brain. So it's a really powerful tool set.
Well, and exactly. And I think it's also important to remember that it's actually normal to go to that negative place. Like, our brains just have this negativity bias. It's evolutionary, right? Like, back, you know, in our you know, caveman days, we needed to be safe, right? We needed safety. And so when we encountered something new or uncomfortable, it made sense that the initial reaction would be, you know, fear or doubt, or, you know, this is not safe, until, you know, it's proven otherwise. And mm-hmm. we've just carried this negativity bias, you know, with us into modern day. And the beauty of it, though, is that we have the choice to decide to think something different, right? So me stretching myself, you know, literally and figuratively, by doing these sun salutations, you know, today, it makes sense that my brain would say, hey, you know, this is different. I'm not so sure about it. I'm going to send you these critical thoughts so you don't do it again. And I'm able to step in and say, actually, that's ridiculous. You know, no harm is going to come to me from doing sun salutations, if I'm doing them, you know, safely and not, you know, sure. pushing myself, yeah. right? But, you know, it's a choice to decide to come back and give yourself some kindness and celebrate this amazing thing you did by pushing yourself just a little bit outside of your comfort zone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it makes it more likely that we repeat it, because it creates that beautiful link in your head. And to your point is, you know, it's so powerful. And I think one of the things that really helped to help me to understand that is what the Buddha said about it. And he said, in the field of 1,000 flowers, all we remember is the snake. And so we're really wired to just remember that one thing, or just focus on that one thing. And so it's a really powerful shift that we can do. And that's having true agency. And I believe is the true essence of empowerment, is learning how powerful you are when you can begin to take control and command of your mind and be very intentional about how you're thinking and you're showing up for yourself in these little acts of sun salutations or drinking more water or doing your prayers or your affirmations or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now I want to go back to the morning, right? And, you know, back to that frazzled mom who might, you know, be waking up feeling, you know, already stressed out and adding one more thing is just going to put her over the top. You're a yoga teacher. I guess I have a question is, you know, can we use our body in terms of how we're sitting or standing or what our posture is to actually affect our mood?
100%. I literally was like, I need to sit back up. My body's starting to hurt. I don't really sit very much for this direct reason is that, as we know, our mind and our body are so intimately connected. And what happens when we change our physical state, so how you're holding your body, it's so powerful and it's so, so quick. Because when we are in that upright position, I think we're both doing it now, and perhaps your listeners will be kind of following suit. When we move back into that more upright and open posture, we're able to breathe more deeply, which signals a state of calm in our body and our nervous system, and begins to shift us into that more present and alert state. And we all can very quickly, and we don't have to do it, we can all really quickly identify the posture of somebody who's feeling really sad and feeling really defeated. Mm-hmm. And so that is a much more closed off, compressed, shortened, or weak posture. I don't call it bad posture. I call it a weaker posture. And so when we are in that posture chronically, which many of us are, because we sit and we're not aware of how we're holding our body, it causes us to shrink. Literally, physically, can cause all sorts of tension and pain. It triggers stress because we're breathing typically in a very short and shallow way, because it's hard for our breathing muscle, our diaphragm, to actually move, because you're squashing it because you're slouched over. And so the more aware that you can be of how you're holding yourself, the better, because when we shift back into that upright and open posture, you're bringing your spine back into its neutral and natural alignment, which makes it easier for the muscles to do what they're meant to do, because they're not having to hold it in that weird slouched over, hunched over posture. So there's less tension. There's more energy flow up to the brain. So we can look at it from the physical posture in the way that you're holding your body, but then energetically, when you are up and open, you're sending that signal, I'm ready, you know? And so we can see that when somebody moves into that stronger posture, there's actually a shift internally. We start to see a lowering of cortisol levels. So you know, stress levels start to come down, testosterone levels, of which we all have testosterone, some of us more than others. And that's the action taking, that's the drive, that's the focus, right? So we want, of course, to be less stressed and more open and creative and intentional. So that's what's happening inside our body. And then energetically, all of your centers are open. When you're up in that strong posture, your heart is open. You're able to kind of lead with the heart, if you will, if we talk about it from a more metaphysical point of view. But when we're in that scrunched off posture, everything's closed and compressed. So the energy to the heart isn't as open and free, right? And so we can kind of look at it from the spiritual and the scientific sense. And so interestingly enough, you know, when we look at somebody who sits a lot, their rates of depression and anxiety are significantly higher because of the effect that the posturing has on their body and therefore on their mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So this could actually be a tool that people could use if they're stuck in that place of feeling overwhelmed and powerless with all the things going on around them, is to just take a moment to straighten the posture, you know, stand up, stand tall, straighten your back, take a couple of deep breaths and take it from there.
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, going back to busy moms in the morning, like when you're standing and you're brushing your teeth, and I know I sometimes brush my teeth and do like several things at the same time, but even just taking that time of the 2 minutes that, you know, while you're brushing your teeth and just really being aware of your breath, being aware of your posture and rolling your shoulders back and standing taller, and imagine there's an imaginary string on the center of your chest and that's getting lifted and the crown of your head is getting lifted so that you're feeling that upright posture again, because gravity's pulling at us, all the chairs we sit in are pulling at us, and so it's kind of just taking us into that sort of classically compressed posture of aging that we see, right? And it's not your destiny. If you're proactive, you can prevent that. And so the more you activate the back of your core, the better. Like, you know, standing up tall, squeeze your bum, shoulders back, and like about to walk in, imagine that you're about to walk into a very important conversation or meeting or on stage, whatever, you know, makes the most sense in that analogy for you. How would you present yourself? And that's how you're presenting yourself to the world. But ultimately, that's how you're presenting yourself to yourself. And so the more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. A common theme that's coming up, you know, with all of this is things meaningful to you. So, you know, taking on the posture to come back to yourself, right? And to stand in your own strength and doing things in your morning routine that is going to bring meaning to you and your day. Are there other tools that you practice, Megan, throughout the course of the day to keep yourself connected in that way?
Sure. So again, we're speaking too about like little breaks that are achievable and accessible, even if you have the craziest of schedules. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I like to do, which might be fun, especially for people with littles in your community, is what I call a shaky break. And so, you know, if you have animals at home, you see them doing this all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a doggy in particular, they're really good at this. Not just from the tail wag perspective, but you know how they do that thing where they shake
everything
up. The whole
body. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they do the whole body all the time. And so this is really great if you're feeling happy, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling over anxious, you know, it's literally one of those like most versatile tools you can do. And it's kind of like Muppets Gone Wild sort of thing. Like it, to two-year tolerance, whatever feels good for you is ideally, obviously you do it in a space where you feel safe and you feel like you can do this and obviously safe that you're not going to whack your hand on anything, but you just really stand up tall and to whatever feels good for you. You kind of like you're drying your hands off, you know, you can't see me, but imagine I'm drying my hands off and then you start to kind of shake your arms a little bit. And then if you had a tail, you'd be wagging it. And to the point where, you know, you shake your face a little bit, like a horsey mouth or whatever, and just allow yourself to be in that release, that physical release. And so you can do it and you let your arms go all the way up. And this is where the Muppets Gone Wild, just imagine, you know, arms up over your head, Fraggle Rock kind of style, and then just shaking, shaking, shaking. And imagine that you are like a snow globe, you know, when you take, when like a two-year-old is holding the snow globe and it's shaking, shaking, shaking. And then you take a big, deep breath in. And then as you breathe out through your mouth very intentionally and slowly. And as you do that, you bring your arms down. And as you bring your arms down, you just feel yourself settling and sinking and grounding back down. Like all the little particles in the snow globe are just settling back down to the bottom. And even that has a very, very, so many layers that we can, you know, unpack. It has a very deep, profound effect on your nervous system and on calming you down. And it's a really great way to kind of get the, like, shake the sillies out, if you will, or, you know, kind of like let everything out and then let it settle. It's sort of like the agitator in the center of your washing machine. And it's just kind of, and then everything just settles back down again. And that's something that you can do. And I think for moms, that's a really powerful tool to teach your little ones to do, because as humans, until we learn these things, we don't have these natural outlets of stress that animals do. You know, you see the swans, they have a little kerfuffle on the lake and then they go away and they flap their wings and then they're like, and they're done with it. Whereas humans, we walk away and we're like, how did she even say that? What did she even mean about that? And we squawk about it for like 3 days. And then we have to tell everyone we know about it. And then we're just still in the stress of it. And then we're reliving the situation over and over and over, you know, but like your dog, they just get up and they do a little wag and they do a little shake. And they're like, what's that? Let's go for a walk. What's bugging you? I don't know. You know? And so really just taking lessons from nature. And that's a powerful tool that
I love this because, you know, there's certain truths that exist in the world, and you know it's a truth when you can, you know, look across species and see the same sort of behavior happening over and over and over again. And, you know, people might be, you know, rolling their eyes at the idea of, you know, doing this shaking exercise, but it's actually a scientifically validated way of closing that stress cycle in our bodies. That's why, you know, the swans flock. That's why the cats and the dogs, you know, shake. That is what they're doing. And the problem with us humans is we do exactly what you said, is we hold on to our stress and ruminate about it, you know, for days. Yeah. And we never discharge it. We never discharge it from our bodies, right? And that means cortisol levels are high all the time and we feel like crap. And so, you know, if we could just shake our tail feathers the way the swans do, it actually makes a huge difference. So that's an excellent tip. I know we're running out of time here, and I'm dying to hear the story about your rooster. How did you come to adopt a rooster?
Absolutely. And I was just going to say that if, you know, the silly, if that feels too silly for you, something you want to do, then just do the breathing part of it. Like, you're already doing the breathing anyway, so you might as well make it more intentional and impactful. So just you breathe in through your nose. That's when you'd be doing your shaking or not. And then just the, you know, that ancient sage advice that's just take a deep breath. That's been around for a while for a reason, because of the impactfulness of that. So the story that you're asking too is, how did I adopt Chirpy, the Hawaiian rooster? And so here in Hawaii and in many warm climate places of the planet, there's a lot of chickens and roosters. Because we're an island, we don't really have they don't have any predators except for, you know, cats and humans essentially. And so it's quite normal for them to be sort of having free reign of wherever they go, including my backyard. And I was at a really difficult time in my life of complete exhaustion and burnout. And I kind of prayed for some sort of help guide. And so it's quite interesting that, you know, a couple of days later, Mama Hen and her baby chicks arrived in the backyard. And so she's showing them all about, and here's where we get the water. And, you know, there's probably some bugs over here. Anyways, nature takes its course. A couple of days later, no mama, and still baby chickens in the backyard. And I should mention, I'm actually kind of terrified of birds, of having seen the birds as in 3D as a 5-year-old.
That'll do it.
So I'm out there, you know, and I'm an animal lover, as you may have guessed already. And I'm all, well, mama's here. Mama's not here, but the babies are obviously stressed. Like, you could tell their demeanor had totally changed. And so I'm out there, you know, giving them the gluten-free bread and the quinoa and whatever. And they're following me around. I'm terrified. It's a scene. And gradually there's fewer and fewer of them until there's only one left. And I'm at this point, I'm all in. You know, they think I'm the mom now. And so he would come up to the window and like little do beaky, beaky, beaky on the door, you know, and tell my friends, don't let the chicken in. And they thought it was hilarious because they know I'm terrified. And so it was a joke. Until I realized one morning that he wasn't a chicken, he was a rooster. And yeah, ironically enough, he, you know, sat in the window or sat in the tree outside my bedroom window, and I get to wake up to him every morning at 4 a.m. And I thought, this is funny. Is this what I asked for when I asked for help? And so I started to, having no other choice, begin to really observe, because I think the universe has a divine sense of humor and sends us messengers all the time. And so I thought, okay, well, I don't really have a choice. You can't beat him. You got to join him. And so I started to really observe, and he taught me so much about the consistency and how important it is to be consistent in our morning routines, how important it is for us to celebrate each new day. And they have a beautiful song to do that. You know, you don't necessarily have to sing, but what can you do to celebrate each new day consistently? How can you connect to the truth of who you are? Because he had no choice. He was a rooster, and that's just what he did every day. He got up and he celebrated, and he was so connected to who he truly was that I believe that that's really what lent to him fully being his fully expressed self and being confident. So I took a lot from that, of the consistency and the celebration and the connection and the confidence and the shaky breaks, because they do this like fluff the feathers.
They do.
Strutting across the lawn with an unmistakable confidence that you can't miss. And so how can you create a routine that you can do consistently with celebration of the fact that you get to do it? You don't have to do it. You get to do it. You have a body that you get to take care of, right? Rather than an obligation, and doing it to connect truly to who you are and your source energy, whatever that higher power is for you, so that you can feel good in your body, you can feel confident. And so, you know, started out as a funny story, but it turned into a deep lesson in self-love and appreciation.
Well, isn't that how it goes? So the funny irony here is I have spent many years of my life working overseas in environments that have been unsafe and unpredictable, like refugee camps and things like this. And I have a deep love for roosters, because in all of these places where I've worked, the roosters have been there. And in many of the places, they have been the only constant for me. So there were times when I had no freaking idea what was going to come at me next. You know, in this work, what I could always count on was the rooster outside my window every morning. And that became my anchor to maintain my mental health, working and living in these stressful environments. So roosters hold this very, you know, special, very special place in my heart. And even when my husband and I are on vacation in a tropical place where there's roosters all over the place, I have to stop and express my gratitude, you know, to them. Like they mean so much to me. So I was so excited to hear that story from you. So I can relate.
That's beautiful. You should definitely go to Kauai, because they have a lot of roosters over
there. Oh, I've been, and I love, there's such good hiking in Kauai. That's the real reason why I go. But yeah, absolutely. All right, Megan, if people want to find out more about you, and I'm sure they're going to want to, where can they find you?
Well, I have a little gift for everybody. You can go to minimorningroutine.com and grab my mini morning routine to start to really create that little tool set for yourself. Give yourself that window of time, whatever that is, right? Whatever works for you. So that's a great way to connect. So minimorningroutine.com. And then that way we'll be connected. You can share your takeaways from this episode and any questions or how you feel after your morning routine. I'd love to hear from you. And then also on Instagram, my handle is I am Megan Nolan, and I share lots of tips and tools to help you to integrate these fun little movement breaks and shaky breaks and all the good things into your life so that you are truly thriving. So I'd love to connect in both of those places.
Amazing. And Megan, I'm going to go follow you on Instagram right now, because I don't think I can get enough of you. I love you. So thank you so much for joining me here today.
I love you too. And I can't wait to hear from your listeners and to connect with them as well. And I really hope that you found some little tips and maybe even laughed a little bit, and as you wiggled your tail and shook along with us. So that's what it's all about. So thank you so much.
Love it. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much, Megan, for coming on the podcast. I know we just had a short time scheduled to talk together today, but Megan, if you're listening to this, I consider you a kindred spirit, and I hope we get to work together more in the future. And for listeners, please check out the show notes below. There is a link to Megan's resource for you, she's offering you her PDF, 3 tips for developing your own mini morning routine. I've peeked at it. It's amazing. You're going to get lots of use out of that. So head on over to megan-nolan.com/3-tips. And that link will be in the show notes there for you as well. You can also find Megan over at Instagram. She's at I Am Megan Nolan there. And you can also find her on Facebook at Megan Nolan Maui Yoga. All right, that's all we have for you this week. And have a great one. We'll catch up again next week. Bye for now.